This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Take me to the Vetchfield, way down by the sea, where I will follow Swansea, Swansea City. Once our city's football team went on to Swansea Town, and after years in Division Two, slowly they slipped.
Just gone 9:30, and that song can mean but one thing. It is time for the Swansea City fan show. Right, Swans fans, you can have your say at Love Sport Radio on social media or give us a ring, 0208 70 20 558. Also the same number if you want to drop us a WhatsApp message. Of course, we are going to be talking all things coronavirus, how the pandemic is affecting football in general, how it's affecting Swansea City in general. Of course, it's affecting all clubs in the football pyramid, both in the UK and in Europe. We're also going to be talking about goings on behind the scenes at the club. As I said, you can have your say at Love Sport Radio or give us a ring, 0208 70 20 558, if you want to do that. Right, delighted to say for the Swansea City fan show, I'm joined by Ryan Pridmore from the Ambition is Critical podcast. Good evening, Ryan.
Hiya, Joe. How's it going, mate? You okay?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Thank you very much. Aaron O'Shea is with us too from the Gate 2 Swansea City podcast. Good evening, Aaron.
Evening, gents. How you getting on?
Pretty good, thank you. Aaron, let's start with you. Firstly, in terms of the atmosphere among the fans, given that football is on a hiatus, we know it's on a break for 3 weeks, of course, and potentially longer. What's that done to the attitude and the thoughts among the fans, this I suppose no man's land that we're in, this land of indecision, not really knowing what's going to happen next?
Everybody supports the hiatus as far, you know, of course, on the whole. It's the right thing to do, I think.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's left a lot of people sort of wondering what to do with their spare time. It feels a bit like, you know, the end of the season whilst you're waiting for the new season to start. I've seen a few tweets going around, but, you know, you've got chaps saying, oh, I actually have to talk to my wife. And it's, everyone's just a sort of a bit lost, but at the same time supportive of the government, sort of, and the, you know, the FA, EFL and Premier League's decisions.
Ryan, let me ask you as well, in terms of, I suppose, someone who lives and breathes the Swans, are you kind of in a bit of a no man's land now, not knowing what to do with your weekends?
Yeah, well, because it's not just the Swans with me, because I've got two sons that play football as well, and they obviously all their football has been cancelled, all the local football has been cancelled as well as the Swans. So it seemed weird yesterday to, like, you know, not be out in the morning with my boy playing and then watching the Swans in the afternoon, you know, so you have to find other things to do, which was mainly drinking all weekend. So I hope this doesn't last too long, because we can't continue on like that. Like, yeah?
Well, I did point out that that's one of the main problems. You can't kind of tell Brits to work from home and not close the pubs, because everyone will just go, well, I'm going to the pub then.
yeah. Well, this is the thing, isn't it? And all jokes aside, on the work thing, like, I'm self-employed. So
yeah, me too.
You know, my concerns at the minute, you know, football is secondary, really, because, you know, obviously, I have family. I'm not totally concerned with myself personally. Mm. You know, I have, you know, grandparents and parents and stuff that obviously it would be more affecting possibly. And, you know, you think of that. And then obviously if they lock down the country and this, and it's 2 weeks, and I know I got 2 weeks off work. So, you know, and I'm not earning. So, you know, all those things play on your mind. So, really speaking, the football, it's all really secondary, isn't it? You know, and you know, probably for most Swans fans, it's a welcome break from having to get stressed out about your club every Saturday. Like,
Aaron, what I do wonder is, because Swansea City, of course, while being a big club and being in the Championship, we're not talking Manchester City, Liverpool, United here, who can absorb consistent financial losses. if games are suspended for a great deal longer, or indeed they carry on but they're behind closed doors, how much do you think it'll affect the club not having those gate receipts? Because, of course, staff still need to be paid.
Absolutely. It's gonna have an effect. We're a club that, you know, we're still going through a financial restructuring sort of programme. Huge cuts have already been made, but there's still some way to go so that the books are balanced. But the club is always reliant on as much income as it can get, and increasing commercial income has been part of the club's strategy for quite some time now. On match days as well, it's not just about the gate receipts. It's, you know, the beverages and the food bought, you know, all of those things, merchandise. The club shop's always packed out on match day, and they're losing, you know, thousands upon thousands of pounds of revenue. We are one of the bigger clubs, but again, because of the financial situation, it's going to affect us. We're very lucky that we've got an astute chairman who's doing a fantastic job, but, you know, he's not a miracle worker. And I would imagine they'll be holding many meetings behind closed doors to discuss, you know, how can they keep the club operating sensibly whilst there's a massive cut to revenue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult situation, as you mentioned, for so many clubs. Swansea City make £250,000 per home game, 4 home games left this season. That would be £1 million. As you say, obviously, food, beverages, programmes, all that other stuff that goes alongside it. You mentioned Trevor Birch, of course. He said the health and well-being of our staff, supporters, their families and the wider public will always remain of paramount importance to the football club. But we hope we can get back to normal as soon as possible. The advice is obviously for everyone to follow the health advice and stay safe. I mean, Ryan, in terms of the financial implications for Swansea, I mean, long term, do you feel it's something that could be damaging?
Yeah, massively. Like Aaron was saying there, you know, the restructuring we're going through, you know, it's going to be a long process, which is going to take a number of seasons, I believe. You know, we've talked about it on the show over the weeks that we've been doing it, and how this is the beginning of the process, really. It's probably going to get a lot worse for Swansea before it starts getting any better. So this to have happened at this stage is really no good, you know, for the club. You know, you hope that it's not going to last too long, and you hope that we can get back up and running and finish the season so that you're not losing that £1 million worth of revenue. Maybe you're just delaying it coming in. But, you know, like I say, at the same time, there's still wages, players have got mortgages to pay, and all this, there's money still going out and no money coming in. So, you know, like I say, I think we've got the right man for the job. As Aaron said, you know, Birch is an astute guy, and, you know, I'm sure he'll find a way through it, and hopefully we'll get back playing sooner rather than later.
The Brighton chief exec has said that he thinks a plan to bring Leeds and West Brom up, have an expanded 22-team Premier League next season where 4 teams go down would be the solution. Now, the obvious thing Swans fans are going to be thinking, 3 points off the playoffs as you are, is where's the third promotion spot? You're in the hunt for the playoffs with a few games left to go. I mean, I don't know, I suppose, Ryan, the question is that fair? Is that a solution?
No, you know, you look at Brighton, they're not doing too particularly well at the moment. I'm sure he wants to stay in the Premier League, and very smart of him to come up with that type of idea. But, you know, I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair on any clubs regarding teams that are in the Premier League or in the Championship potentially going up, you know. And there's clubs way better positioned than us that would definitely be not agreeable with that. But, like I say, a lot of it now is we're all in limbo, aren't we? And who knows what's going to happen. So we just got to sort of let it all sort of play out and see where we stand in 3-4 weeks' time.
Ollie McBurney has been talking this week about his shock appearance, right? His controversial appearance during the game against Cardiff. He said that he sometimes forgets that he's a Premier League footballer and that he's got these responsibilities, but he's only 23. Aaron, I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to say, but what did you make of Ollie's behaviour in the derby?
I loved it.
Obviously.
Absolutely loved it. He's a human being, and it, you know, he's a very normal sort of down-to-earth guy, And he likes a laugh. And I can see his point that he would easily forget the responsibility, I suppose, that he would bear being a representative of a Premier League team. But you know, when he's in the crowd, and it's not the only game this season that he's come to, but
QPR as well, wasn't it? He turned up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he bought everybody a pint in the away end. And you know, when he's in the crowd, he's one of the lads. He chants. He starts off the chants. People crowd around him, and he loves it. So it's easy to lose yourself, and it's nice to see a footballer being a human being instead of the robots that they're sometimes expected to be. There's a lot of talk where, you know, fans will often complain, saying that, you know, they want to be closer to the players, they want to interact, they want to see the human side of them, and then when they show a human side, like Ollie did in that particular game, then it all kicks off. So you can't win either way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ryan, what did you think as well? I mean, I for one, I mean, there's nothing like seeing a player in the stands singing, giving a bit of jip to the opposition fans as well. What did you make of it?
Yeah, you know, like I absolutely loved it. You know, Ollie was young when he came here, and he's made friends from Swansea. I know he's big mates with Joe Roden's brother, Sam. And, you know, that's who he goes to the football with. And, you know, he sees himself as a Swansea City fan now from his time here. And, you know, I've had a few conversations with Ollie McBurney as it goes over time. He's a good guy. And just back last summer, I made a bet, silly bet, that I'd have his name tattooed on my backside if he scored 20 goals in the league. And obviously he did it. And then we raised money for a local charity, and he matched it. So we ended up raising just over £3,000 for a charity, half of that which was provided by Ollie McBurney. So, you know, I know what type of guy he is. He's a normal, down-to-earth bloke and one of the boys. So I've got nothing but respect for Ollie, and I know I welcome him at the club anytime.
Right, listen, we're going to be talking all things Swansea City up until 10 o'clock. Remember, you can have your say at Love Sport Radio. Give us a ring or send us a WhatsApp message. 028 7020 558.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Quarter to 10. It is the Swansea City Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio. Joe Forrester with you until 10 p.m. talking all things Swansea at Love Sport Radio. If you want to get in touch on social media, give us a bell or send us a WhatsApp message on 0208 70 20 558. Here with Ryan Pridmore from Ambition is Critical Podcast and Aaron O'Shea from the Gate 2 Swansea City Podcast. Aaron, it's the first time you've been with us here on the Swansea City Fan Show. Tell us a little bit about the Gate 2 Podcast.
It started out as there's four of us, but there's two brothers that started it out on a bit of a whim, really. And then the other chap in the group, Clarkey, joined, and I've become a bit of an honorary member. I'm a bit of a late bloomer, really. And it's named after the old players' entrance at the Vetchfield to the Gate 2. We're a group of friends. We go to the football together, home and away, and I thought we'd give it a bash, really. So there's nothing more to it.
And just lots of Swansea City chat, a few trips down memory lane, I'm guessing?
Yeah, yeah. We're trying to arrange now to get as many sort of former players on as possible. We had John Williams on last week, and he was brilliant value. And yeah, it is solely about just Swansea City, past, present and future, really.
I've become very interested in the escapades of Cyril the Swan over the years, I must say. So are you ever going to get him on?
Well, funnily enough, years and years and years ago when I was smaller, I was a ball boy at the Vetch. And for some reason, I thought it would be a really good idea to give Cyril a bit of a kick. I don't know why, just thought it would be funny. Not expecting him to turn around and absolutely belt me one back. And I think I was about 11. And so that was my experience of Cyril the Swan. Bit of a silent character, a bit like the Stig, doesn't talk a lot. But, you know, if he's game, we'll get him on and see what he has to say.
Because, Ryan, I mean, obviously you remember Cyril as well. So for those who don't know, Cyril the Swan is obviously the Swansea City mascot who got into a fair bit of legal trouble for his behaviour, including ripping off Zampa the Lion's head, who's the Millwall mascot, and booting it into the away fans. That's right, isn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, he's a hell of a boy. I'm not sure whether I should name who the actress. We'll just leave it as Cyril the Swan. But I've heard lots of stories about him. He's a hell of a character. And yeah, you know, that one when, you know, especially being at his Millwall as well, you know, of all the mascots to attack, yeah, Millwall was the one which garnered a lot of publicity. Like,
it's absolutely extraordinary. Right, let's bring it back to the Swans here and now. So, Ryan, looking forward at the end of this season, I mean, as we said, 3 points off the promotion chasing pack in the playoffs in the Championship. Now, obviously, it could go either way. We know with about 8-9 games to go, the Championship is obviously a very turbulent league. Having seen what you've seen so far this season, and say we are getting underway with some football next season, where would you like to see Swansea improve over the summer?
Where I'd like them to improve and where, or if they will actually yes. improve, are two completely different things. You know, it depends who we lose, and you know, we're going to be a selling club in the summer. So I think the obvious one to be leaving will be Joe Roden. You know, we've got very few saleable assets left. He's definitely one of them. And if we've got to balance the books, we know we've got to sell players to balance the books. So I'm assuming Joe Roden's going to go. So we're going to need centre-halves. I think we do lack a lot of physicality in the centre midfield. Obviously, we've got a lot of loan players at the moment. So it obviously depends what happens with them. I'd love to keep Conor Gallagher next season and Rhian Brewster. I don't know if that's a possibility. I would really, really those two especially like to keep. I think in Ben Cabango, we've got another guy who in a year or 2 years maybe will be another saleable asset. He's really starting to look the part and he's still very young. But, you know, strengthening, you know, we know that we're not going to be spending 4 or 5 million on players. That's just literally not going to happen. So it's going to be loans, it's going to be free transfers and promoting academy players into the first team. So as much as I'd love to just go out and say, yeah, we'll have him from there and we'll have that striker from here, that's not likely to happen.
Aaron, Ryan, of course, mentioned Rhian Brewster there. And given, I suppose, the wealth of talent that they've got at Liverpool, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that he could get his loan extended, is it?
It is possible. You know, he's got a really great relationship with Steve Cooper, and Steve Cooper has shown us, especially in the January transfer window there, that he has got a really strong network, especially amongst the big clubs. He's renowned as being a youth type manager, especially from his time with England. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility. I think what it will come down to is the finances, how much of, you know, the players' wages we would be expected to contribute, whether there's any sort of fee, whether there's guaranteed game time clauses, all those sorts of things that are in loan deals. And as Ryan just said there, another one that I as well would love to see back is Conor Gallagher. He's just a machine. In my opinion, he's massively underrated and he's a real unsung hero. He just doesn't stop running. He's just brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of bringing in additional bodies, I know it's going to be loans and I know it's going to be done on a shoestring. What areas do you identify, Aaron, as needing to strengthen?
Central midfield, definitely. Mm. Especially if we lose Gallagher, we're going to lose that sort of engine-type player. We've got Jay Fulton. He likes to get stuck in and he's quite a physical sort of guy. But he doesn't necessarily cover the miles that Conor Gallagher would. Again, centre half. I'm sort of repeating Ryan a little bit, but you know he's spot on there. We probably will lose Joey Rodon. Mike van der Hoorn's contract is going to be up. We're probably going to lose Kyle Naughton. His contract will be up. So unless he's happy to sign reduced terms or something like that. I'm trying to remember now. There's a list of players whose contracts are up in June, and it's quite lengthy, and it's going to leave us really sort of threadbare. We will need another striker, probably a lone striker again next season, whether that's in the form of Rhian Brewster or not, because all we'll have left is Liam Cullen, and he's only just broken through from the academy on merit as well as sort of a matter of circumstance, but you know, if it was just him on his own, you know, we're going to be really, really threadbare. So it's going to take Cooper's little black book is going to get an absolute hammering in the summer, no doubt.
Ryan, let me ask you, I mean, it is away from the football, but it's something you touched on earlier, and I think it's something that a lot of our listeners will be interested in. You mentioned, obviously, that you're self-employed. I'm a self and self-employed, as are 15% of the workforce in the UK. There's 5 million of us. Currently, there is no provision to help us or to help self-employed people financially should the coronavirus pandemic go on and mean we're unable to earn. It is possible to get £96 a week in universal credit. I think we all know that won't get very far. And I know this is away from football, but it is, I mean, a unique set of circumstances. What would you like to see happen in terms of the way the government offer their help?
I don't know. I don't rely on them. You know, I've been self-employed for coming up on 17 years. So I have in place, you know, insurances that can cover me to a certain extent. It wouldn't be the full covering of my wages. Randomly, just so happens that I'm pretty good with money anyway, so but I'd been saving recently because I'm supposed to go to Benidorm in 2 weeks, which obviously had just got cancelled.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to be running London Marathon, which got postponed. Mm. So I had saved money for these trips, which actually now is more than covering if I was to lose a couple of weeks, that savings, you know, just by pure chance, really, you know. So I should be okay, and obviously I'd rather not lose any work, but I'm a taxi driver by trade. So you know, I'm in the public domain daily with countless people getting in the taxi with me, so you know, if anyone's going to catch it, probably going to be me, like. You know, I'm sort of getting my head around that, and you know, it's easy to say, well, you know, stay in the house, but you know, unless they start knocking this, you know, postpone my mortgage and my council tax and all this along with it, you know, how are those things going to get paid if I'm not in work?
Well, that's what Jeremy Corbyn has suggested to the Prime Minister today, that perhaps there's a freeze on rent and mortgage payments as there has been in Italy.
Well, yeah, you know, it would be nice, wouldn't it? You know, yeah. I look at my bills and my home insurance, my mobile phone bill, you know, you just start racking them up, don't you? You know, yeah. And you know, if they were to say, look, we're going to just postpone everything now for the next 2 months' payments of everything I had, then that's great. That would be a massive weight off my shoulders, you know. But is that going to happen? You know, these companies still, they want to make their money as well, don't they? You know, because, you know, they still got workers to pay.
Yeah.
And things of this nature. So how realistic that is, I genuinely don't know. I just know that, you know, For the short term, I can get through it, but and you know, be okay. But you know, if it starts going longer term, the longer we go, then obviously the more stressful it's going to become.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's the not knowing which is causing a lot of stress and anxiety for a lot of people. Listen, Ryan, I mean, as I say, I know it's off the football, but it's just interesting to hear your opinion as somebody else who is obviously involved and obviously concerned about it, as so many of our listeners will be. And thank you very much for joining us to talk about Swans, Ryan Pidmore from the Ambition is Critical podcast, and Aaron O'Shea as well from the Gate 2 Swansea City podcast. Great debut, Aaron. Thank you very much.
Cheers, all the best.
Cheers, thank you. It is normally more about football, I promise you. It's just we're in a bit of a unique set of circumstances at the moment.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
Nice one, chaps. Aaron O'Shea and Ryan Pridmore there talking all things Swansea City. Remember, you can have your say at Love Sport Radio. Give us a bell or send us a WhatsApp message. 0208 70 25 58 is the number if you want to do that. Right, we're going to be talking Norwich City coming up very shortly. Division 2, slowly they slipped down, but we all knew there'd come a time when we'd see better days. So spread your wings, you silver swans, rise and fly away. Swansea, oh Swansea, oh city. Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.